What's going on, everybody? This is DJ Layton with Kingsguard Gaming, the head coach for the Sacramento Kings 2K League affiliate, and you are listening to the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast.
Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request! Hey, there's a friend request! Hey, there's a friend request!
All right, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
All right, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's me, Bobby, or Junkhead. Call me whatever you want, as long as you call me your friend. And as usual, I can't do this. Is not possible without the beast from Bruges, the man from across the pond, the man with ridiculously good looking hair, but you know, a little bit of he's not big on deodorant. I'll just put it out there. He smells a little
bit. What the hell? Stop.
There she is, the diva of Twitch, Joaquin Blaze. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Junkhead, how you doing?
It's always a good
day. I'm really, really, really excited for this new guest because he's a coach for an esports team that play a game that I actually liked to chill in. So I'm really excited to see everything behind that. And like I said, already this season, we were having a bunch of guests that I actually don't really know about or never met, and It's been a discovery. I met already a bunch of amazing people and heard a bunch of amazing stories. So for the people listening right now and you haven't listened to the previous episodes, please go and check them out. They're really worth it. And we met a lot of inspiring people. And I think this person is going to be an inspiration again for all our listeners.
Yo, easily, hands down, because that's what this podcast is about, is bringing people to other people that they have no idea what's going on. Like, it may be a game, it may be something that they do that you would never think anything about. And once again, Blaze and I would like to personally thank Justin for making this possible. But I'm just, you know what though? I mean, since you played the game, you're like a savage at it. I'm just gonna let you introduce. Just do it.
I can't. Okay.
You went pro at this game for like 0.2 seconds, but go ahead.
Probably 1 second, but hey. The guy's 8 foot tall, right? 200 yes. pounds, heavyweight, esports head coach for the Sacramento Kings, and the King Guards, right? Am I wrong? I don't know. Let's see how bad I am.
It's DJ Layton, everybody. What's going on, DJ?
Hey man, I appreciate, I'm a little over 200, just a little bit, but, Everything else you got right.
Hey, it's the internet.
I knew it. He was 8'3".
It's the internet, so you can be 200 exactly if you want. So, because everything on the internet is true. So,
yeah.
So,
how's it going, fellas?
Dude, it's going great. Thank you for coming on board. It's great because, like I said, Blaze and I, we've done a little bit of research about you. We know that for one, you have a beard, which is always a plus, and. So this way, along with the listeners, whether it be the fans of everything that you've done and people that have never, unfortunately heard of you, we get to learn along the way. We get to hear your stories and things that you've accomplished, where you're at, where you've been, where you want to go, what you the future. So I don't know what to say. I think I'm just going to sit back and just let Blaze handle it.
Honestly. So... I don't know if you like, what is your real name? Your first name,
it's actually Dell Layton and my middle name is Joseph. I've just kind of gone by DJ. My parents call me DJ growing up. And, that's just kind of a name I ran with and used it all throughout school. And, I still use Dell in business professional settings.
I used to call my dad DJ.
Yeah. Whoa. It's just easier. It just flows and,
But for my dad, it was because he used to be a DJ back in the 60s and 70s.
No DJ skills over here.
And his first name is Jean-Paul. Yeah, Jean-Paul. So that's like a French name. So I call them DGGP. That's how I always call them. And my friends are like,
Dell's actually a pretty good name because, not only you got DJ Layton, and it's ironic that the father of a Sacramento Kings his name was Dell. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't even know that.
Yep. Dell Curry.
Oh, wait. Yeah. He did. Did he play for the Kings?
No. Steph Curry. Steph Curry's dad.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know. He might have. I don't know. I mean, he did play around, but enough about. We're sitting back here enjoying and having a good time, and what we really look forward to.
How did you start? Like when you were young, like how did you grow up? How did you start? How did you get into gaming? I'm really curious to hearing that story.
Yeah, honestly, it started at a young age, man. I have one older sister, about four years older than me. And just always, I'm sure this is how everybody starts, man. Their parents have a Sega or a Nintendo or, whatever the case may be.
Well, for me, it was an Atari, so, that's really old. kind of tells my age.
It didn't go that far back for me, but... it had those in the house and, I was just always, I was a kid. I was always outside playing and doing those things. But, every time I was like, I developed this competitive kind of mentality at a really young age. I don't know. I think it's because I hung out with older kids and I would always try to beat them and, do whatever I could to win. And whenever I saw the video game console in the house, I would always try to play my sister, play my dad, or just play, try to beat a level. And I just developed that love for it, at a young age, playing Mario on the Game Boys and, doing all these things. And it's crazy looking back now how, those moments kind of led to my career path present day. And, now I'm making a living off of a video game. When I sit and think about it and sit and talk to other people about it, it's kind of amazing, man. So,
I mean... Yeah, I mean,
we all come from an age that gaming back then, when people looked at it, it was like, gaming, you're not going to reach anything in your life with that, And nowadays, if you see what certain people do, and for example, you do, is people make a good living out of it or even get rich from it or just have a good life doing gaming and doing what they like. So it kind of disproves what people were thinking in the past, right?
Yeah. And, I guess. It's crazy to kind of see the transition because, back in the day, you would always have, parents and teachers and, people that were older than you always kind of looked down upon you if you were playing the game too much or, staying up late doing all those things. I was lucky enough to have parents who they kind of let me just do what I love to do. As long as I was handling my business, as long as I was staying out of trouble. They let me stay on the game late. They let me play, do certain things. And, if they didn't do that, it's probably safe to say I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. But I always hear stories of kids and, my age back in the day when they wanted to play the game and their parents would say no, or like, you must go outside and you must do this and must do that. And it's kind of crazy to see how the transition now is to where you got these 12-year-old kids making $1 million on Fortnite, 15, whatever kid, I don't know, I forget his name. He won a Fortnite
Booga.
Tournament.
Booga.
Yeah,
$3
man.
$3 million.
How old was he?
He was like 15 years old, little shit.
Yeah, like 15, man. Like, that's unreal how we're kind of watching this transition from video games kind of being looked down upon in a sense to now, where you got 15 year olds being millionaires off of it.
Yeah, I mean, because Blaze and I, we've talked about it in past podcasts. It's like, we are a little bit older. Blaze is the oldest, and like we were talking.
You have to wait, DJ. You have to understand that half what Junkhead says about me is not true, but he's trying to mirror that on me so he can make himself feel better. Just so
I'm deflecting.
Know.
I'm deflecting. Like when you were gaming, like as you're growing up, like if you were that kid that sat behind a Sega, an Atari, or whatever, people were like, "Oh, look, you're that gaming nerd," So I like the fact that if you think about it now, was that everybody is a gamer. It could be something that you're playing on your phone, you know, that you could be like, it starts out and then it grows from there. So, you know, like for you, what was your first game that you, that really hooked you in and you were like, all right, this is it. This is like, you know, you go to school, you come home, do your homework, do whatever. And you're like, I can't wait to jump on it and play it.
That's tough. I think for me, honestly, going back, it was never by myself games that really got me hooked until I got a little bit older. It was more of like the experience. So playing with somebody, playing against somebody. I go back to my first game that I really remember. I was having so much fun playing it, and I could play it for hours and hours and hours. Was Mario Kart. On Nintendo 64. That was like the first game where I was just like, oh my
God. You're hooked. It got you.
Yeah. And the fact that it was so competitive and there were so many little things within the game, like, you know, running through the boxes and getting certain things, and it had some strategy to it. And that was really the first game that kind of got me hooked on more of the competitive aspect, you know?
I mean, I'm sure I've asked Blaze this several times. Like for Blaze, what was the game for you that did it?
For me?
Yeah, I mean, we're asking, it's a pivotal question. People want to know.
The thing is, I started on Atari, but honestly, like the first Donkey Kong, I was addicted to that. And it was back then it was complicated, but it was just like now it would be simple for people. And you had those little handhelds with those little like watch batteries, you know, to play on in the car. And I used to play hours on those things, and Tetris. Oh my God, Tetris on the Game Boy. I think I spent a lifetime on those two games, like Donkey Kong and Tetris. Oh my God, and Snake on the phone, like on the first Nokia. Seems stupid, but those games, they got me.
It just goes to show that it doesn't matter what game it is or where you're at. It's like an addicting. Like, you guys. Okay, like, I will tell you guys, like, I grew up when I was a kid, there was no such thing as an internet. I know it sounds crazy, but, like, for us, our gaming stuff was the arcades. So, like, I remember, like, you'd get that high score, you put your three initials in there, and then you come back, and all of a sudden someone's taking, you know, that, you know, like, what, you're in second place? What happened? I thought I had a high score no one could beat, and so that just made you drop quarters to get that high score, and... Oh God! Like
if you're talking arcade, then it would be for me Mortal Kombat, probably Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3. Like every time the fair came to our city, oh my God, yeah, I had my coins ready. Like I had to destroy my pick, take the little coins, get on my bicycle, and go play Mortal Kombat.
So were you a big arcade guy, DJ, or what?
I never got into it, to be honest, but every time that I did go, you know, I had a blast playing on all the different games, but I would never be like specifically like, hey, can we go to the arcade? You know what I mean? But that's funny you brought up Snake, because I remember in like fifth grade, I would steal my mom's phone and try to beat Snake thing like for like hours and hours. So that was a big game for me too.
Yeah, so why I mentioned these games is because now we're like, games are so, you know, advanced, but like sometimes just a simple game that grasps you, it's you know, I told you that one of the richest guys in gaming history is probably the Russian dude that invented Tetris, you know?
Yeah.
Not missing out on anything now. We missed out on that opportunity, so. But, you know, so, you know, You started Mario Kart, and then where did your? I mean, obviously, you know, you're a basketball, NBA 2K, you know, coach, and when did from Mario Kart? What was the first basketball game that like what you were like? Okay, this is my groove. Because I mean, did you play basketball at all? I mean, as a growing up.
So pretty much, you know, basketball has been my entire life. Going back to probably, I mean, I would say even earlier, but like third grade, it was like when I started like joining like little leagues and stuff. going back to third grade, man, it's been on my mind, or I'm doing something basketball related every single day that I can remember. So, playing at a young age, developing that skills, playing in high school, playing varsity. I was a 2-year scholarship at a junior college in Wisconsin. From there, 2 years after college, I felt like I kind of experienced what I felt like I wanted to and needed to. And really from that moment, I decided to go into coaching, where, I kind of developed a love and a passion for the game, obviously, since a young age. And I wanted to kind of put my knowledge and my passion onto others and kind of, pass that down to other people. From playing to coaching, but going back to the game itself, the first 2K, I mean, that was the game where it really changed my life. I'll be honest. But there was other games like NBA Jam and like certain games that I love to play. But that first NBA
NBA
2K,
Jam, that's a classic, right?
yeah,
I
like
forgot about that game a
award.
lot, but that was so good, that game, you know?
NBA Jam, even
On the
on the
Nintendo, right?
arcade,
It was on
yeah,
the Nintendo,
but even on the arcade one, those were like, ooh, you can't beat that. Those were the best games, man. But that first 2K, it was on Dreamcast, with Allen Iverson on the cover. I remember playing that all day, every day. That was the first game that got me like really into like the competitive sports scene. I don't remember how old I was. I was definitely a junior high. I didn't have a Dreamcast. I used to hang out with these high school kids and play basketball outside. And after we would play, we would go hop on the game like for hours, right? Once I got started on 2K, it never left. From that day on, from that first time I played that game, that was literally my whole entire life through high school, even in college. My daily routine was wake up, go to school, go to practice, come home, eat, do my homework if I had any, play the game until bedtime, go to sleep, wake up, go to school, do it all over again every single day. I swear it kept me out of trouble. It kept me in the right path, in the right lane, make sure I didn't do any of the wrong
So
things.
it was eat school game repeat. Eat school game
Yeah, I
repeat.
swear it really was, man.
It's
It
like
really
that
was.
song.
It was real life basketball, and then I would come home from real life basketball and get on virtual basketball. It just consumed my life. And even through college, man, like I remember. I was living in a house with my teammates, right? So it was like four of our teammates. And we had like a basement, right? And they used to throw parties and like, do certain things down there. There would be nights where I wasn't feeling it, and I would just be on the game upstairs, and I could hear the music, I could hear people talking and yelling downstairs, but I was just on the game, 2K10, I think, just playing all night, and they were It was right under me having a like a rager party. So, this game has been a part of my life for as long as I can remember.
I mean, that's just so. I mean, if you think about it, NBA 2K10, and you're on what, NBA 2K21? I
21
mean,
now.
it's just like I remember
It's been
NBA.
21 years.
Yeah,
21 years.
I was just like, wow, man. Like I remember NBA Jams was that he's on fire, and the ball was like in
Oh
flames,
my
and you
God,
couldn't
man. That
miss and
was
stuff.
so cool. That
But I
was
mean,
so
it's
cool.
just. I mean, that just shows that it's a testament to the level of your dedication. You could have been downstairs getting crunk with the homies or what, is that what the kids say? I don't know. YOLO swagged out of your mind, but you're up there and you're just so dedicated to what you were doing. I mean, you were, so you're obviously high school. I mean, like you said, junior high school, college, JUCO, basketball
Yes,
player.
sir.
Then you started coaching. So, at
You started at an early age then,
no no
actually.
no I mean, what I'm saying is that I've always believed that you have that one coach that teaches you how to be a player, but also a possible like that implements those coaching styles that you're able to take and make it your own. because let's face it, we've all been in sports where you have those good coaches and you have those bad coaches. I mean, did you have that one coach that, as a player, that like, you can't say touch you in the right, you know what I'm saying, influence you, that led you down the path to coaching, that
influenced you, John.
Yeah, that's. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'll edit that out. Probably won't. Just saying. But I mean, obviously, there's a point where you realize that, like, hey, look, I've competed at the highest level, but you transition over to coaching basketball. I mean, was there that one coach that did that for you?
Yeah, there was. You know, I've had obviously a lot of coaches in my life, and you know, outside of this one coach I'm about to mention, to be honest, I felt like I was more knowledgeable than all of my coaches that I had outside of this one guy. No shot towards them, even though it is a shot. But my high school coach, Coach King, he actually, Neil King, man, the nicest guy in the world, man. He actually lived down the street from me when I was in junior high, and he was the high school coach. So he would always drive by going to his house, and I was always outside shooting baskets on the goal outside my house, not knowing that this guy was going to be my coach in like 2 or 3 years. So we kind of built a bond just from that, like, you know, being so close to each other, living right next to each other, always seeing each other, but not really knowing, you know, not really building relationship or knowing that something, you know, that we're about to spent 4 years with each other. But once I got to high school, man, you know, he really, you know, his coaching style and just the experience overall through my high school career, pretty much. I take a lot of things that we did in high school and I use it now. Because, you know, back home, outside of being a 2K coach for 6-7 months throughout the year, the other half of the year, in Houston, I'm actually a head varsity coach for a private high school, which is actually close to my old high school. So with that being said, like, a lot of stuff that he taught me and he kind of showed me, you know, I use to this day, like with certain things that we did for running or certain drills or certain things that he would say, certain stories, you know, I still use that with my kids. He's the only guy that I took anything from. I had, you know, some coaches in college and, you know, had some, you know, a couple coaches throughout my AAU career that I just looked at. I was like, you know, what is this guy saying? It makes no sense what he's trying to have us do, this and that. But I was a little hard-headed, man. I thought I knew more than what I did, anyways. But yeah, I knew I was going to be a coach at an early age. I was always I try to compare myself to a Rajon Rondo type, if you guys know who that is, man.
Yeah. Well, he played with Kentucky, didn't he? And
yeah, he did. Celtics, Lakers, bunch of teams in the NBA.
Like Bullets, I think. Yeah, Bullets too. No,
yeah.
Or Wizards, I'm sorry. When I was there, it was the Bullets, but maybe not. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No,
you're good. So yeah, with him, like, I always watch him, and even like my idol Kobe, like, I would take certain things from him, and I would see how they would coach, like, while they play. They're directing traffic, they're telling a player to do this and do that, and I always kind of felt that way during a game, I guess. So, you know, when I got to an age where I was like, I kind of had enough basketball, I wanted to do something different with it. I knew coaching was going to be, you know, something for me, something I was passionate about, something I enjoyed to do, and something that I didn't even know I was doing my whole entire life while playing, you know, because I would always have conversations with players on my team and teammates and saying, hey, we got to do this, look for this. You know, if he double teams me, you got to cut to the middle and I'm going to pass you the ball there and this and that. So I've technically been coaching my entire life without even knowing it.
I mean, I just, and I've told Blaze this is that I think, like, really good players, whether it be in esports or in real life, like, you guys see things so much different. Because Blaze has played on highly competitive levels, you know, and like, like when you guys look at things, you guys look at things like completely different than what I would see them as, you know, like whether it be is like a battle royale, you know, whether it be in basketball, whether it be in coaching, you guys see the games differently than, you know, Joe Bag of Donuts that's sitting on his couch and is, you know, an armchair, you know, pro or whatever it is, you know, like you guys have that ability to see things differently than the average fan. And I've always respected you guys that do that. I was like, huh, I never would have seen that. You know, you go back and watch VODs and you're like, man, never seen it. Never thought about that. Yeah. But
that goes with experience, honestly. And even my players who are professional players and get paid to play the game, I see things that they don't. And that's why, I try to build, such a relationship with them to where we can kind of go back and forth with ideas and they ask me what I'm seeing and I ask them what they're seeing because we kind of have different perspectives. The guy playing the game, the guy watching them play the game. And then there's, the average guy who probably doesn't understand 80% of what we're seeing, and we got to explain it to them and do certain things. So there's a lot of different ways that people see.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I love when, like, in the journals in my country, and they're talking about sports or whatever, and then the average Joe like me can like comment to those articles, right? And the comments you sometimes read there, I'm like, how do they look at a game of? I used to be a soccer player and water polo player, so I'm like, how do they look at this game? Like, I don't understand. What are they seeing? It's not there, or don't they understand the game? Or I don't know. You know. So honestly, sometimes it feels frustrating also that people don't see it the way you see it. You know what I'm saying? It's really hard sometimes. But hey, continue. Sorry.
It's really a thing because like there's times like where like Blaze and I was like, didn't you see that? I was like, no. And he's like, it's easy. You didn't see it. I'm like, no, I don't see that. You know, it's just that it's just my mind works different than everybody's. And you know,
we play Warzone a lot, me and Junkat, for example, right now. Right. And I see so many stuff and he's like, and I'm like, don't you see where the dude is? Like, I don't even communicate it anymore because sometimes I think he sees it, but I forget he doesn't see it, you know?
But I mean, that's funny you brought that up because I was literally just about to bring Warzone up. This year I kind of took a break from playing 2K just to focus on the season, and I've been playing nothing but Warzone with like my guys.
Yeah, you're always welcome in the Team Bromance, you know.
We gotta get it in.
You're always welcome.
But so I watch streams a lot, right? I watch a lot of Nick Merckx. I watch a lot of Swag from FaZe, and I watch their streams and like the stuff that they see and do, I am like, how? You know what I mean? I'm like, how does he know that's going to happen? How does he see that, this and that? And even with, some people that I play, if I'm better than them, right? And I die, let's say I die early or whatever, and I'm watching their screen, while they're still alive. I don't want to call things out to mess them up, but there's like a lot of things that certain people miss that I see. So I'm like, oh, now I kind of see like the difference between, certain stuff. But It is crazy, man. Especially Warzone. Warzone is crazy.
Our listeners know that I competed in H1Z1, and if you look at Warzone and H1Z1, I'm sorry, Warzone, but H1Z1 was the father and mother of all battle royale games, and Warzone is actually easy compared to people to H1Z1, and people like Merckx and others, they played H1Z1. A lot of people that succeeded in Fortnite were actually super good H1Z1 players, So yeah, I think they took all that experience. Game. Yeah, it's having a little revive right now. So if you want to get into those lobbies and have a little bit of nostalgia, you should jump in right now.
Did you play H1?
The game is definitely tough, but I stopped playing because I think, I don't remember, I think Fortnite was kind of on a rise when that game was coming out, maybe. I remember I switched to Fortnite from that, but that game was definitely hard as hell, but I loved it.
Yeah, that's one game that I've always had a respect for, H1, because it was such a huge learning curve. And Like when I was an esports manager and the players are like, oh, how many hours you got in? And I was like, oh, I think I got like 75. And they would laugh at me. They're like, at about 2,000 hours into this game, it'll make sense. And I was like, dude, yeah. What the fuck? Like, how many hours do you think you have in all the NBA game, 2K games you've played? How many hours do you think you've played or watched VODs or anything?
Yeah, that
a lot. I wouldn't really probably count
it. Yeah, definitely 100% a lot. Like I would go, I'd probably say 12. It was getting to a point where it was almost like 12 hours a day minimum.
So, oh my gosh, I mean, so yeah, you are more than welcome to come join Team Bromance and we'll play. Look, everyone knows that's been around me and Blaze. Like when Tim the Tap Man did the TikTok about it. That one guy that's the rock on the team that has little.
That's the moment Junkhead started crying.
That's me. I'm the guy that's going to pick you up. I'm the guy that will somehow sneak in and buy you back. That's me. So, but enough about.
Sometimes I start yelling at him. I'm like, Junkhead, don't revive me. Shoot them first. And I would die because he's trying to revive me. And I'm like, no, you should have killed him.
And there's a time that we're like, you know, he's like, don't revive me. And I'm shooting somebody. And he's like walking and pushing me away. He's like, don't revive me as he's crawling to me, which he's subliminally telling me, pick me up so I can kill these people for you. And he's like, I told you not to revive me. I was like, I wasn't. Believe me, for once, it was not about you. That's why he's the diva of Twitch. So.
Yeah, that Tim video is hilarious. I'm way too competitive to be that guy though. I can't be that guy. So hopefully, you know, you definitely need one in the group though. 100%.
That's me. That's Blaze. Yeah, Blaze is like
definitely gotta have one.
So, but I mean, this goes to, like I said, Blaze, like you guys see the game differently than I do. Like I'm the casual, I try to be competitive, and then I just make a TikTok series called Dying in Verdansk because it's more humorous than people getting 67,000 kills in a game, you know. But so at what point did you, as you're, like you said, you know, you're coaching basketball, you realize that there's an opportunity for your career to flourish into, like, say, the esports side? I mean, when does that light bulb go click? I was like, well, what am I doing? I could be doing this.
Honestly, it was easy to kind of come to that conclusion because, you know, once they announced the 2K League, right, I think it was 2017 going into 18, I looked at it, I was like, holy shit, like this is a dream opportunity for me as a player or, you know, as a coach, manager, you know, anything like that. Because it took two of my favorite things, well, really three of my favorite things, and it put it all into one. And, you know, as soon as they announced it, from that day, I started making strides and taking steps to put myself in a position to where I can be involved because I knew, you know, it was a great opportunity. It was, you know, affiliated with the NBA. You know, I always wanted to be in the NBA as a player, but, you know, once I realized that was not going to happen. I was like, okay, this is you know another way in and into something that I've been wanting to do since I was a kid.
Wait, I don't mean to interrupt you, but just out of curiosity. So what you're saying is that the NBA 2K League is actually like, is it sponsored by the actual NBA or
100%. Yeah, they back it 100%. I actually, you know, the Sacramento Kings, the NBA pays my, you know, my paychecks. They give me my paychecks. So I am involved with the NBA team.
What? No, shut up. Are you serious? No. I mean,
yeah, that's why, you know, I'm out in Sacramento. We practice inside the Golden One Center where the Sacramento Kings play. We have our own practice facility inside the arena with PCs and TVs and, you know, everything you need. So yeah, we're 100% sponsored by the NBA. We have a contract with them.
Do the players like sometimes come in when your team's like practicing and they're like, "Hey, can we play with you guys?" Or
can I get next? So
There's been experiences like that. You know, we walk in the same door, you know, the players walk in. So they know who we are. They're like, oh, that's the video game team. we're not going to be like fanboys. Like, oh, my God. Hey, man, what's going on? Because, you know, we got to play it cool a little bit. But we definitely, you know, we say what's up and they know who we are. We obviously know who they are. And it's pretty cool when we're able to do things together. We don't have that opportunity often because of just the seasons going on. And there's so many things, you know, people are so busy. But whenever there's opportunity to do things with the players and stuff, we definitely, you know, take advantage of that.
I mean, it's funny because half of those guys are almost, I would say probably 3/4 of that, of all professional athletes play video games.
Oh, 100%.
If not more, if not 100%.
Have a young team. The Kings have a younger team as well. So, you know, their main players, you know, they talk about video games. De'Aaron Fox actually streams. He plays Call of Duty on stream and plays 2K on stream. And there's some other guys I know on the team that are pretty avid, you know, 2K players and just other games. So, you know, it's definitely, especially with the times now, you know, it's a great little kind of connection between the two.
So, I mean, that actually, to me, is possibly the vision of it, that not only does there an official league for NBA 2K, is that you're like, what's the word I'm looking for? So you're like the esports team. So does every team in the NBA have like an official esports team, or is it just certain?
Yeah,
I mean, I can't get my head around. That is so awesome that an actual professional league is sponsoring teams. So they're like,
yeah, it's crazy. And that's why I was like, I have to be a part of this, because I knew like if this were to blow up, because it's still growing, it's going into year 4. You know, it's taking its lumps. It's taking, you know, lower viewership compared to, you know, some of the higher games. But yeah, almost every single NBA team, I think there's like 6 or 7 missing that haven't bought into it yet. But I think 22 or 23, something like that, I don't know the exact number, all have 2K affiliated teams under, you know, their branch of teams. So, you know, for the Kings, they don't have a WNBA team, so it's just them and then us. But teams like the Timberwolves, they have, you know, their NBA team, their WNBA team, and they put their 2K league team right there with the others. So, you know, it's kind of crazy, man, how, I mean, kind of compare it to, I don't have crazy knowledge on this, but like a Manchester United, right? Doesn't soccer have like affiliated FIFA teams or at least players that
this is my
represent
country,
their branch?
In my country, the like the top teams in the league, they have a FIFA team that competes in the Belgian FIFA league, yeah.
Yeah, but so it's kind of comparable to that, you know?
Yeah, but it's really small in my country and they barely make money. So, you know, but, yeah.
But
it's a really big difference. But
if you, like, if you still think about that, though, that's such a huge connection. Like, you know, there are certain, like, disconnects with games like that. But now when you say, oh, yeah, you have, like, the Sacramento Kings have a 2K, NBA 2K team. You know, you have, like, Manchester United, but they have, a FIFA team. I mean, that just shows that the where you would think there was a disconnect between the two, that the leagues are partnering with these esports, or, you know, creating esports orgs for that, you know. And it's just like, hey, I'm just gonna put it out there, you know, if the Sacramento Kings are looking to have a, you know, a content creation podcast, I know a good one. So
I will slide that info along, man.
But no, I mean, at you know, so you got in. So did you get in from like day one?
Yeah. So I'll tell you my story a little bit of how I got in, because you know, I had to go through a couple of things to get to where I'm at. But when the league was first announced, I actually attempted to get in the first season as a player. I was just heavily playing the game, and I was kind of talked about as one of the, not one of the best players, but, you know, when people heard my gamer tag and stuff like that, they were like, okay, like, you know, this guy's going to be good. His team is going to be good. We've competed at a high level in all the tournaments that we played in. You know, we were successful. So at that moment of time in that first season it was announced, I was really in like a player's mindset. I was like, you know what, let me see if I can get in and make some shake as a player. So there was like a combine process that you had to go through, like an interview process you had to go through. And, you know, my numbers just weren't as good as some of the top players. There was like, I think 20,000 people who attempted to make the league, and only 250 were selected. So I don't know the numbers on that, but I don't know the numbers on that. But you know, it's very slim, right?
Oh,
yeah. So, you know, 20,000, 250, only 250 were selected season one to get drafted. You know, and from that point, I was just like, you know what? I'll be honest. Like, I'm probably not the top 200, you know, best players in the world. So you know, I can take that L. You know, it doesn't bother me. But, you know, I still wanted to be involved. And I was currently coaching at that time. I had stopped playing and got into the coaching world. And I knew I had the 2K background, the 2K resume, as well as, you know, developing and creating my coaching resume. I was a couple years in coaching summer teams and doing stuff with the Houston Rockets with summer camps. And so I was pretty heavily into coaching. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I take my 2K resume, I take my coaching resume, I put that together. What does that kind of equal, right? A 2K coach, you know? I started going crazy. I started cold emailing, DMing, doing whatever I could to get in contact with teams. I had some early interviews that I didn't get past like the second and third stages. And then kind of out of nowhere, man, out of all the teams I was sitting up, one of my last teams I had reached out to was the Sacramento Kings. And my guy, Ian, who's the general manager, my boss, He answered my email within like, I think it was like a day or two. And he was like, hey, man, saw your resume. Would love to talk just to hear about, you know, you and see what's going on. Because I knew they needed a coach. They didn't have one previous. And they had the worst record in the league the first season as well. So I was like, I think I could add a little bit to this organization. So, you know, I reached out. They reached back. And within 2 weeks, I was hired. So it just kind of, you know, it took some luck. It took a lot of L's. It took a lot of rejection. But it worked out for me. Season two, I was the head coach of the Sacramento Kings and Kingsguard. And it's been a great kind of connection and bond ever since then. I'm going into my third season with them. And we've been successful. We've made playoffs. So we're, you know, we're starting to turn things around. And it's been great, man.
I mean, so what are your actual responsibilities? I mean, not only I'm sure, I imagine you're just a head coach, but you have a whole list of responsibilities. I mean, what all do you?
Yeah.
What is your normal day when you wake up? What is it you have that you do?
So, yeah. Recently, before, you know, we just had our draft. What's today? Saturday, right? Last week was our draft. On the 13th, we had our season four 2K league draft, and we needed two players. So my every day was wake up, you know, I was scouting, so I would be on Twitch. We had our big board, pretty much list of guys that we wanted to bring here. And my job was to wake up and watch their VODs, watch their Twitch, see their recent gameplay, listen to their comms and their communication.
That's why I have 200 views on all my Warzone videos on Twitch.
Yeah, he's,
I'm being watched.
Yeah, you're being scouted about.
So you're actually kind of doing scouting like a football coach would do on the field, but you're doing it on the interweb, right?
Exactly. So awesome. The same thing I would be doing if I was an NBA coach, I'm doing it, you know, as a 2K coach, because it's the same thing, literally. You know, NBA coaches watches, you know, college players film, they watch their, you know, how they play the game, they watch for little things that they need. And same thing for me, you know, we needed a power forward and a center. So, you know, I was scouting power forwards and centers. I was seeing who would be the best fit personality wise, see who would be the best fit gameplay wise. So yeah, and that would be my day. I wake up, I scout, and then I'd schedule interviews. First, second, third interviews. And I'd bring my players in and have them ask any questions. It was a very detailed interview process to where, you know, we had to make sure that we got the right person and that we did our homework in case certain things happened throughout the draft. So that was my day. That was my really couple months until leading up to the draft. Now, once our players get into market, because all six of our players are flying from different places in the U.S., in Canada, they fly into market, and then my day will kind of it'll start to tighten up a little bit where I have to schedule practice times. I have to schedule workouts. I have to schedule team meetings, player meetings, film sessions with the group. We'll scout other teams together once, you know, once the schedule is announced and see who we play. Literally, you know, the day-to-day is identical to what an NBA coach personnel most likely would be. Maybe not as much, but it's similar into the aspect that, you know, our game, we're game planning, we're scouting, we're watching film, we're having team meetings, we're having, you know, team dinners, team bonding activities, doing all these little things to make sure that, you know, we're doing whatever we can to win the championship and make these players and the most money as they can, you know?
So let me,
I feel like he's in awe. He's like,
No, it's like you're thinking about it, how far along and progressing there is with this, because do you have like restricted free agents and unrestricted free agents in the league or what?
Yeah. So those are things that get talked about a lot. Actually, we're not there yet. The league is new. The league is building. We were actually on ESPN a lot last year because of COVID. Our season was able to continue because we have the benefit of being able to play in our living room if we need to. and we were on ESPN. We took ESPN, ESPN2 slots when there was no sports going on. So our league is currently growing. You know, I think free agents and things of that nature will be into play soon. The more teams, you know, kind of buy into us, like Gen G. If you guys know who Gen G is, they recently got a team last year. So they now have a full team. They're based out in LA. So the more teams that buy in and the more organizations that buy in, the more, you know, money the league is going to make, the more revenue and the more TV time they're going to get. So no current free agents, but, you know, there's trades and there's drafts and there's all that stuff still. So
it's pretty much ran like the NBA teams, period. 100%. But just on the esports side, I mean, that's just
100%.
It makes you wish, like, why can't other thing, you know, teams, you know, games that are like that be ran like that? I think it would be so much easier. I mean, I'm just like Blaze said, I'm kind of like lost for words about it. If that shows that you can run something that is a video.
You have to
game.
Know because you haven't said it yet, but you were an esports manager as well, Junkhead.
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the H1Z1 days. So
H1Z1 PUBG Rocket League.
So he has a kind of a view on what you're doing, but
so that's why
it's another level, you know.
So yeah, I'm like on like. I wasn't the competitive person. You know, I firmly believe that those that can't play coach kind of thing, you know, but it's just, but I see things from that esports managerial side, and it's just like, it makes you wonder how many more games could be successful if like something like that happened in other sports, you know, like, you know, they had that, you know, like for you guys, you had like the NBA team and then you have the NBA like academy esports side, you know, but.
Uh-huh.
A lot of like Call of Duty teams are like that. They have the competitive side and they have the academy side. So it's like a minor league for, you know, the competitive Call of Duty side. It's just, you see the evolution of esports progressing right before your eyes and you're like, man, it's here. And I mean, so yeah, I'm at a loss for words for it because you're like, holy shit, this is happening, you know? And I mean, what is it? So do you, so there's obviously LAN events, right? I mean, you've done NBA LAN events, haven't you? NBA 2K.
Yeah. Obviously last year with COVID, I give all the props in the world to the league and the league operations for keeping our season going during that. I'm sure it was a headache. We had for the first half of the season, well, I'll go back to our, when we did LAN events, season one, I wasn't involved, but season two, we flew to New York. We had a central studio, where fans could come in, you could buy tickets, all that stuff. It wasn't a big place, but it was solid. And we would fly to New York. Every team would fly into New York during a week. So if you have a Monday game, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday game, right? We fly in, we'll play our game. Sometimes we'll have two games in a night, or one Tuesday game, one Wednesday game. We have a hotel, we get transportation, all that stuff. Playoffs, finals, all that. It was everything was at this central studio. We had to fly from California to New York and back every single week for our games, unless we had a bye week. But last year with COVID, obviously traveling was out of the picture. It was not safe. It wasn't smart. So we were able to manage and, you know, get things set up in the players' apartments that we have. So their player housing, we set up a PC, set up a monitor. We got the best internet that we could that was available. Obviously, it's not LAN, and there was some small, you know, like lag and what's the
latency word for it? And
delay, latency, that kind of thing. So we had to go through a lot of that. And us being a West Coast team, sometimes, you know, we had to play the mix, right? So if we were on their server, we were at a huge disadvantage. If they were on our server, we were at a big advantage. So there was a lot of little things that went into it, but you know, I give props to the season to the league for making the last season happen. But yeah, hopefully this year, man, our season starts in about 2 months. You know, there's been, you know, talks obviously on the vaccination, everybody being able to get one by May and this and that. I'm not keeping my hopes high, but you know, if playoffs come around, they're usually in August, late July, August. I think there's a really good chance that, you know, we can get some teams out to the studio and play in person, because I will tell you this, fellas, if you've never seen a 2K League game on Twitch, you can go back and look. The energy is crazy. There's a 5v5 setting, right? So you got five guys sitting on one side of the stage. You got five guys sitting on the other side of the stage facing each other. So you can only imagine...
the shit talking going on.
Oh man, it gets nasty in there. We get technicals. There's a guy that walks around. He gives warnings if you curse too much or if you say anything too bad. You get a technical, just like the real NBA.
Wait. John Cat would be out there in 5 seconds.
Yeah, I would be like two T's. Yeah, I'm in the back. So
yeah, I've almost had a few. So
let me get this straight. You actually have someone. So, okay, as a coach, are you behind your player? So, like, say, like the, you know, like right. The Call of Duty Gears guy, they have their coach behind them, mic'd in.
Yeah, so I stand behind them. I'm on the headset with them, yeah.
And you actually, does he wear like a ref uniform or
something? No, it's not a ref. It's like a...
that would be cool. Just that a ref would be so. Yeah.
Does he walk up to you and blow his whistle?
We're
going to
have a petition
that
they have to wear a ref uniform.
Yeah, he's basically, I would say, just like a game admin. It's a guy who knows, like, if something happens to a PC or if a glitch or something, he knows how to fix it. But also, he's in charge of, like, you know, kind of keeping the players... Because it's on Twitch, right? And got cameras, a lot of cameras going around. And, you know, we don't want, you know, it's sponsored by the NBA. So it's also, we're also a representation of the NBA. So you don't want guys saying F you and, you know, this and that all the time. They let them, you know, it's going to come out eventually, but that's when, you know, you get a warning. And if you keep doing it, you get a tech and that hurts your team. But
it gets real.
It gets real nasty in there. I love it.
Have you gotten close to pulling a Bobby Knight and throwing a chair across the stadium floor? I mean, that's what I'd love to see. Like, DJ,
I've broken a clipboard. I've broken a clipboard in my high school coaching. I haven't experienced that in the 2K level yet. I have a different kind of mentality because I'm not dealing with like 15-year-olds. You know, I'm dealing with guys some my age and some, you know, that are over 21, 23, 25, whatever. So I have a different kind of approach with how I, you know, talk and react to them other than when I'm talking to like a 16-year-old kid who doesn't want to listen to anything I'm saying. So the frustration isn't as high. But, you know, I've definitely had moments of frustration. But no throwing chairs, no throwing clipboards, no markers, nothing like that yet.
Do you ever talk smack to the other coach? You got to tell me you. Like, it's the NBA. There's a
it
lot
comes
of,
out. I can't it help slips. It. It comes out.
It's gaming.
I got to control it a little bit.
I call it gaming Tourette's. Like, you're not that person, but in the moment, you know, let's face it, it's the NBA, you know, and there's a lot of smack talk that goes on and stuff like that. I can see it. Like, you got to, like, you're going to be saying some stuff to somebody else.
So for me, it's more of a, I'm going to look you in your eye and give you, like, a little head nod. Like, all right, that's what we're doing. Instead of saying it's some
song, baby,
stuff, yeah, I'll definitely give them a look and like a little shake my head or nod my head and be like, all right, let's get it then. Let's
so, I mean, so you're what you're saying is you're not the Larry Bird of esports NBA 2K because they say he was the nastiest street junk talker and smack talker in the NBA back in the day, but.
Yeah, no, not that's not me. That's not me, man.
Oh, God.
I'll leave that to the players.
That I'm not gonna lie, that would probably be me. I'd be like, yo, what's up, man?
So, I gotta be the good.
He's gotta be the example
players,
now,
you know?
What
I mean? Yeah.
He's the old dude.
If your coach is getting texts, then it's getting bad then.
Yeah, I'd probably first quarter. I'd probably be double teed up and like, good job, you got this, guys. I'm gonna go back here, but I mean, I just shows that you know it's so admirable because, like you said, the connection with the professional NBA team, the league, that you have to carry yourself with such professionalism. I mean, we can joke about it and say stuff like that, but like being there and going through that, the whole process, you're just like, man, this is it's legit. I mean. Now, when thinking about it, when you were first starting out, when, you know, little DJ Layton is like, when you first started, did you imagine that it would come to this point? That you would be collecting a check from the Sacramento Kings for their NBA 2K team?
No, man, of course not. I don't think anybody who's involved with the 2K League saw this coming at all. You know, we all just played the game for fun. We grinded the game and we were involved with the game for fun, for the love of it. It was never a money thing. We didn't do it because of money or anything like that. So just, you know, having the opportunity to do something like this is really crazy. And that's why I like, you know, hopping on podcasts and interviews, because I don't really get the time to like sit and think about it or talk about it. So now, like, in this moment talking to you guys, I'm like, damn, like,
I'm a store manager. Like, I motivate my team to sell stuff.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, listening to you, I'm like, damn, I would like that job.
I know. I say it to everybody, like, this is a blessing. Like, I will never take it for granted. I'll never take, you know, as long as the league is here, I plan to be here and plan to be, you know, doing, being successful and doing what I do. But man, I'm sitting in sunny Sacramento, California. I'm looking out my window right now. I'm seeing people walking their dogs instead of being in Houston, Texas, and the same old kind of, I get to experience life. I get to, you know, we travel to New York. We've traveled to Vegas for tournaments. We traveled to Portland to do a training camp and a boot camp with the Blazers team. I've experienced so many things with being in this league that, man, I'm forever thankful. And hopefully, you know, we continue to take it up a step and continue to build it up and, you know, see what opportunities are available in the future, you know?
I mean, I think the way it's being ran and the connection with the, you know, because the league is not going to put their stamp of approval on something that's like there's no possible future. It's, let's face it, it's a business side, and, you know, we get that. But I would like to offer our services. Blaze could be a good, like, towel boy. So when the players, you need someone to come over there and dab some sweat off their hands, get them, like, some, you know, something to warm their hands. That could be Blaze. You know, I could be the water boy.
Oh, and I can be the guy swearing in different languages, you know, so that way we don't get a technicality.
You're like, what did he say? He just said, have a nice day, you know. So we'll offer our services to you for the team. We're there for you if that's needed. But, I mean, it just goes to show that when, like, for you, you started playing a game and look at you now, you know, something you were so passionate about. Because I imagine it's like you said, that number, like, was, you said 20,000 people, but 215 people made the league first year, you know, it's like, and then you look at now, so you are just, you're wearing multiple hats, doing multiple jobs, because, you know, it's like your job is never done, and I can only imagine that you had to, like, notch a little bit of time out just for us, and then I imagine once we're done with this, you have to go to work. That's your job. You know, it sounds horrible, but, you know, ugh.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, it's the fact that I can, my job is based around a video game, though, and something I love, it makes life, you know, a lot easier. Because it never feels like work. No matter what I do, it doesn't. I don't stress it. I mean, there's stresses throughout a season, but I get to wake up and be around video games and get paid for it, man. So
I mean,
it's a blessing.
I mean, you look at it like, to me, like I always say, when it comes to competitive side, stress and pressure will either make or break you, or make you a better coach, a better player, a better future ball boy, you know, towel boy for the team, Gatorade. Do you guys have Gatorade sponsorships too for the league? That'd be funny though if you guys had everything.
We had a Body Armor. It was Body Armor sponsorship. They sent us like big packs of Body Armor and
like
stuff.
Like, well, I could supply that for the team. What do you guys need? Boom, here, and then I'll drive to the next guy. Here's, you know, what I'm saying. So it's nicely chilled. So
we need a new internet cable, Junkhead. Go and get
that's,
it.
That's me. I'm you call me my team name would be
Gopher. That's another hat I wear. I get that stuff.
Look, I could wear that hat for you. I could change my name to Gopher, you know. Gopher, go get this, you know. So, but, well, let me ask you this. What does your mom and dad think of where you started at and where you're at right now?
Yeah. Like I kind of said earlier, they were never the parents that like told me, oh, like, what are you doing? Like, stop wasting your time on this and that. They were cool with whatever. They kind of let me experience life on my own and kind of let me make my decisions, whether they were wrong or right. You know, if I messed up, you know, they were like, okay, lesson learned. You learned this. You got disciplined for this. Don't do that again. Or if I did something right, you know, they were proud of me. Good job. This and that. So I was kind of blessed with, you know, I was able to experience my life and do things how I wanted to. And if I made the wrong decisions, I had to deal with it. And if I made the right ones, you know, then good job. But they've been supportive 100%, man. And it's funny because, like, they even now, they don't really know how to work Twitch and all that good stuff. But they put Twitch up. They found a way to put Twitch up on the TV. And they watch every game that I have. I saw my mom last season. I didn't know she was doing this, but I would go back and watch the video of our game right on the Twitch broadcast, like just for fun, and like read comments and just see, you know, what people are talking about and just hear the commentators. And I see Layton in the text in the chat. I'm like, who the hell is this with my name? And it was, I forget what she said, something like, oh, best coach, this and that. I love you. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, mom.
Like, now you got your head covered. You're like, oh my God.
I was like, listen, I'm 28. I don't need to be doing a Twitch chat saying I'm the best coach ever and how much you love me and this and that.
See that? That's my boy.
Yeah. I was like,
Man, I even hated that when I was 8 years old and I was playing soccer and my father was yelling, come on, Joaquin, score another one. I'm like, right, oh, shut up. I'll like, score it, but like, shut up, please.
it was the virtual of that, exactly. Like being in fifth grade playing basketball with little kids and hearing your mom in the stands, man. So, they're super supportive. They always text me after the game, before the game. You know, things like that. So, you know, I got a great support system around me. So,
dude, the whole, like, when we were like, we found out we were going to have you on the podcast, and I was like, it's just the NBA 2K. I mean, you know, not thinking nothing about it, but then you hear the whole bigger, broader picture. You're like, holy shit. I mean, this is
I gotta talk about this in every Uber ride that I take in Sacramento, because you know, for some reason, everybody wants to talk to me in Uber, even if I have my headphones in. And the first question they always ask, "Hey, what do you do?" And I'm like, "Shit, here we go." And they're like, and then they start asking so many questions, and like, "Oh my god, I didn't know this and this and that, and that's crazy, and this is crazy." So there's a lot of people that don't know the details of it, man. There's a lot of details that people are, you know, look at like, dang, I didn't know this. I didn't know it was this complex. Or I didn't know it was this detailed or this similar to an NBA type atmosphere. And it's really crazy. Kind of crazy how much you can kind of compare it to a NBA type season. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, normally we'd like to go back and we ask like some crazy questions. Like I'll ask a question and then Lays will ask a question.
I actually have a question.
Go ahead. Knock it out.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard from some people that NBA 2K, the game itself, like the gameplay and everything, hasn't changed a lot in the last few years, that they didn't really, you know, add a lot of new stuff to the game or change anything on the movement of the players. First of all, is that true? And what do you feel about that, if it's true?
this is a touchy subject because I don't want to say too much. Yeah, because you know,
I knew it.
They do pay me in a sense. I'm just kidding. The game definitely, there's some aspects of the game that definitely need work. I'll say that. It's really kind of, you almost say it's luck based in a small percentage. You know, it's kind of luck based. What's it? RNG, right?
Yeah.
What is the exact definition on RNG? When people say a game is RNG based.
Yeah, run and gun kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, you can shoot the timing of your shot the same way every single time. But it won't
exactly the same every time.
Yeah. So like, if you've played 2K, you know, if you green a shot, that means it's going in, right? Like if you fill your meter up and to the green bar, it's gonna go in. So you can shoot it at that timing to where you green it, and then the next time you shoot it and at the same timing, literally the same exact timing and release point, and it won't be green and it won't go in. So it's kind of like, you know, how much can the players really do about it? They just got to play the game that's in front of them.
It's like in Warzone, when a gun is overpowered, then they got to adjust it, you know?
Yeah, like they got to, you know, they got to tune certain things down.
I play from sports games at the moment intensively. I play FIFA, you know? So
FIFA too, yeah.
I feel the game hasn't changed in the last 4 years, to be honest, you know?
Well, I mean, if you kind of think about it in a way, like, I mean, I played basketball, like, growing up, and when I was in the military and stuff, it was something I played to stay in shape for wrestling, but, you know, I come from a basketball family, too, you know, that's my mom played. But there are several times, it's like, you think about it, that's that human kind of element to the game that's on a PC or a console or something. It feels right. I mean, how many times have you shot a real shot in real life? You're like, that felt good. And you're like, brick.
Yeah.
You're like, so it's kind of interesting because then it makes you, I mean, it's just tough to explain.
No, it's funny you said that. It's funny you said that because that's actually something I tell my players when they rage when something crazy happens. like somebody will shoot a shot that was really contested, right? But it ends up going in. So on the game, that's super lucky. But then I tell my players to kind of give them some perspective. I'm like, that shit happens in real life. And you guys know it. It probably happened to you. You think somebody is about to block your shot. They almost block it. You probably have no chance of making it, but it ends up going in, right? It doesn't happen often, but it happens. And same thing in the game. It doesn't happen often, but it happens. Or if somebody makes a full court shot, how often does that happen? You probably have like a 5% chance of that going in, but it does go in 5% of the time. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the perspective I give my players. I'm like, yo, that stuff happens in real life too. It doesn't happen on the game a lot. It doesn't happen in real life a lot. It's kind of makes sense to where, you know, if you shoot 100 full court shots in a game, you'll make one of them. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's like, it has that realism to it, you know, that you can relate to.
Yeah, a little bit of realism. It's just more about making sure the players have that mindset instead of, because they let little things like that affect them within the game. They think, oh, this game is trash. This game, that, you know, typical gamer stuff. But I'm like, hey, that happens in real life too, man. So don't get too mad. Just next play, move on, blah, blah, blah.
All right. Well, then I'll ask my question. That's maybe a little different than Blaze's. What was your very first gamer tag ever, and what was it inspired by?
Oh my gosh, what is it? It was definitely Xbox 360.
Best console ever. Best console ever. Go ahead.
Oh, 100%. But is it best console ever because of the games or just because of nostalgia? You know what I mean?
I think the nostalgia, but it just the controller felt the best. I think it was the best.
Yeah.
The controller,
Halo, all the best. Okay, I could go all day on that, but dang, Xbox 360. It was one of two things. It was, I think, it was either Watch Me Work 23 or New Jersey something 23. It was one of the two, and I don't remember. And I'm kind of mad that I don't remember. But the New Jersey one, obviously, even though I only lived there for like 5 years of my life, I like to represent it because it was different, and your parents spent their entire life and my family spent their entire life there. So I like to kind of represent that as much as I could, being in Texas, and nobody even knew what like New Jersey was in Texas. So that was the reason for that one. And the Watch Me Work one was just, I think I was getting really good at 2K at that point of my life. I think it was like 2K6 or 7. And I was playing 2K, and I was always like top of the leaderboards on Quick Match and all this stuff. So it was just, that was more of like a cocky gamer tag. Like, yeah, I'm probably, if you match up with me, I'm probably going to beat you, bro.
Don't be mad. Watch me work.
Yeah, bro. Something like that. That's kind of where I was going with that one.
I thought it was going to be on I Dunk on You or something like that, yeah. You know?
Right.
Poster, you get postered, you know, posterized or something.
But see, you could use that with everything. Because I was playing a little Modern Warfare back then. I was, you know, you
Modern
could use
Warfare
that
2. Let's go.
Yes, man. Yes. Best game ever. That was actually the only Call of Duty I was like, I can say I was actually solid and like had an over 2.0 KD on.
Yeah, it's. I'm not crying. You're crying. That was my favorite Call of Duty of all time. And
yeah,
the maps. Oh, yeah. Every game had their glitches, but still, you could get on there and just play like Team Tac S&D matches. And 100%. Most likely, I probably noobtubed the shit out of you at one point in time. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to apologize, DJ, if I noobtubed
the
shit out
of you.
Yeah,
you'd probably kill me if you played it that much. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's the one game I had the most time in. You know, oh, God. Oh, the good old days. So, what's your roster right now that you have for Kingsguard? Go ahead and shout out your players.
We just solidified it. Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely shout them out. We just solidified our roster last week on Saturday. In the off season, we made some trades to, you know, to build our roster the way we wanted and the way we needed to get over the hump. We've lost in the first round of the playoffs the last 2 years, and I think this year is our best chance roster-wise. So point guard, we have Nadal, a.k.a. Mama, I'm That Man. That's his gamer tag. He was the season 2 MVP So we're bringing in a season two MVP to our roster this year. At shooting guard, we have Seam, who's been like a top five shooting guard. He's been in the league all 4 years that it's been open. So, you know, he's a veteran. At lockdown, like a defensive player, we have Crush, who is looked at as the best lock in the game, if not, you know, top five. At power forward, we have Majestic. This guy is a Swiss Army knife, I heard somebody say the other day. Somebody was making 2K content, and they called him that because he can play multiple positions at a really high level. And we just got him in the draft. And then at center, we have Yusuf Scarbs, who's from Scarborough, Canada. He was first team all defense last year, second team all 2K league, which is like the equivalent of an NBA player making first team all NBA, like a LeBron James, etc. And then our last guy is named Carey Jr. This guy, he can play the four, the five, and he has a lot of energy. He's going to help our team a lot. So we're really looking forward to this season, man. We got a great organization behind us. We got a great team behind us. A shitty coach, but hopefully, you know, he can make things happen.
I was going to say, you forgot to say the most intense, powerful coach in the league, you know. So
the intense guy that won't say anything because he doesn't want to get teed up.
See, I could do that. I could take the tees for you, all right? No, then I hurt the team. So, dude, I mean, that's just – you guys – so you guys actually have, like, you know, first team, you know –
Yeah, defensive player of the year, MVP, first team.
You guys have defense, first. What about all? Do you guys have an all-star game or?
I think they're doing that this year.
Oh, make it
doing that this year.
Blaze, it's not too late. Let's start practicing. You know.
Yeah, man. Let's get into the senior team.
Yeah. Do they have a senior?
You know what's crazy though? You know what's crazy? Anybody can make the draft pool.
Oh my god!
If you want to,
I'm already on their website. I'm already on the website. I'm joking.
You missed it this year, but next year, fellas, if you guys want to make the draft pool, all you got to do is win a 2K tournament. So get a good five around you, play in a tournament, win it, and then you'll be automatically in the draft pool. And I can call you guys up to interview you for my team.
Let's do this, Blaze. Is it too late? I mean, what's the cutoff? You have an age limit?
I mean, you play like the slowest 2K game that is on the that is out there. He plays golf 2K, right? Golf, yeah. And he's still missing shots.
I don't call it slow. I call it methodical. Okay, so let's drop that subject. Strategic. So go ahead and take this time. Shout out your personal information, your Instagram, whatever it is, your team stuff. And, I mean, just thank you for taking the time out of your day for coming and being on this podcast, because it's an eye-opener. I don't know about Blaze, but it completely caught me off guard. I was like, hey, we're just going to interview a coach, you know? And but, you know, and you hear the story, you're like, okay, it's a lot more than that. So
yeah, I'm glad, you know, I appreciate the opportunity, obviously, to talk to you guys. And I'm glad I was able to kind of let you guys know about, you know, the 2K league and how kind of detailed it is compared to, you know, if somebody just looks at it like, oh, it's just some guys playing 2K here and there, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So it's kind of dope to get that story out. And my Instagram and my Twitter, to where anybody can reach me. You know, I'm not Hollywood. I'll answer DMs.
So people that want to get drafted by him can always contact him. He will explain you what to do, you know?
Yeah.
You never know. Maybe you'll be playing one day for him.
Maybe, man. Maybe you guys will, you know? It's not too late. As long as you're over 18, you're good. There's no age cutoff.
All right, I'm in there then. Woo!
You're good, man. I just got hope. Now you just got to play the game. Got to be good at the game.
Yeah, I got to do that. So
I think I just fell out of my chair.
But yeah, man, you guys can find me at DLay2K on Twitter and then DJLayton23 on IG. Shoot me a DM if anybody has any questions about the league or anything, and I'll get back to you, man.
What about streaming? Do you stream on
Man, Twitch.
I honestly checked. The last game he played was Warzone, and it was 2 months ago. I did check that.
I've been busy lately. And when I do play, I don't stream just because I don't have my setup in California anymore. It's back at home in Houston. So I've been hesitant to stream. So I've been a little bit lower on the stream side. But if you go to Kingsguard on Twitch and Twitter, we'll probably have myself or some players once they get into market streaming on their Twitch. So it'll be a good time.
Dude, awesome. Did anybody else play Warzone besides you or?
On the team?
Yeah.
Yeah, a few guys do for sure. But you know, during the season,
it's all NBA 2K.
We're locked in. It's a $1.5 million prize pool through the season. So, you know, it's got some life-changing money here.
Oh my God.
No time for Warzone during the season.
I understand that. So, once again, thank you for coming on. It's been an honor and a serious eye-opener. Blaze, we need to start practicing NBA 2K. But
no, now I regret it already. You're gonna keep bothering me about that.
So I don't know, but yeah, anytime.
That's good at Warzone first.
Yeah, that's true. I'm methodical and I'm the rock. So, but anytime you're down to play some Warzone, just let us know. You are more than welcome to come play at any time. I know you can be busy for a little bit, and we're patient. Blaze is not. He's just kind of a stalker. He does have some protective orders against him, but we don't talk about that. So, but all the DJ's information will be down below in the description. And you guys, go check him out. Show some support to his team, the Sacramento Kings Guard NBA 2K team. And you're more than welcome to come back at any time, maybe at the end of the season. Say, this is what happened. Give a season recap or whatever. But yeah, anything else you want to ask the GOAT of the NBA 2K League, please?
Huh. I mean, I'm still surprised. Like, okay, one question before we go. The players, they make a lot of money as well, or they like earn their money with the prize money?
Yeah, so they have base salary.
You don't need to say like an exact salary, but I'm just wondering, you know.
Well, it's out there, so
okay.
You can Google it if you wanted to. Everybody gets paid the same for the most part. There's a small difference, but it's about around 40K base salary, and then you can make up to 100K, six figures.
Okay, we're gonna start practicing, John.
It's successful.
So it's like it's really like an NBA contract. There's incentives behind it and stuff.
Yeah, the more you win, the more you get paid. If you win the championship, you can make up to 90 to 110K, somewhere in that range. So,
what about personal assistants, DJ? What do they make? Because you know, I'm available.
That will be that's an answer from my boss. So I'll slide that to him, Ian. If you're listening, man, you got some guys sending your resume, and we'll see you go from there.
I got you, man. So once again,
if you need Junkhead to wear a dress, he will. He actually did it already for the charity stream, so I know he will do it.
I think we're good on that, though. I think we're good on that.
Hey, we raised some money for a charity, and it felt good. And I'll put a dress on for the Sacramento Kings Guard to raise some money for a fundraiser or whatever they're doing.
There you go.
Don't let Blaze fool you. He put on makeup too. So,
I was really good at it.
Hey, the things you'll do to raise some money for some kids, but
respect.
So yeah, I mean, we'll probably do another one. We'd love to have you back on,
for sure.
You're available. So, once again, thank you for giving us your time and opening our eyes to something. So it just goes to show you kids out there, if you dedicate yourself to the craft, that there is a viable future for you, and as long as you're over 18 and you win a tournament. I think I've already lost Blaze, but we had our time to shine. So, but for me and Blaze, thank you guys again once again. And whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, make sure you guys are giving us a big 5-star rating. Let us know that you guys like it, and make sure you guys are following our social media platforms. We put it out there for you guys, and we look forward to having you back on, DJ. You're more than welcome. And educate us.
You're more than welcome to join us for some Warzone if you need to like de-stress from the NBA stuff, you know. There will be some yelling between me and Junkhead. I can tell you that.
It's okay. I yell too on the game too.
Maybe we can both yell at Junkhead.
We can both.
Let's go.
There we go.
So. I appreciate you guys for having me. I got you guys on Twitter, so you know we can definitely DM.
So let's do this.
Get some gamer tags and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, so you guys, keep it.
He's late.
No, I am. Okay. It's just because it's an eye opener. So it's just you guys, when you're playing NBA 2K, make sure you play it right, or Coach Layton will tee your ass up and twice. Send you to the locker room. But you guys keep going out there. Pick your friends up when they're down. And keep on, when you're out there gaming, you better be fragging out. Because if not,
you'll probably be lagging.
Mom! Mom! Get the camera! I gotta kill! Oh, my gotta kill! Oh, yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner, I'm dying to the gas!